Hello, everyone. Good evening. This is May 21st, 2012. It's 8 p.m., and this is our first of three live Insight Intensive calls. I'm Tara Gentile, and I am really, really thrilled that you came out to listen to tonight's call. I have the pleasure this evening of hot seating three very different business owners and entrepreneurs. And you're going to hear more about them in just a minute. But I wanted to set kind of the context for this call first. And that is that you are going to hear about three people who have businesses that are probably completely different from your own. And you know what? That's the best part. Because it's so easy to get in our own little business bubbles and assume that there's only one way to do things, or that we have the best strategy at any given time for what we're trying to do, or that our problems are just completely insurmountable. And what I have found, both for myself and for the people that work with me, is that when they're opened up to ideas and examples and stories and strategies from businesses that couldn't be any more different from their own, they have aha moments, revelations, ideas out the wazoo. Suddenly problems that seemed just crazy difficult appear to be non-issues. Strategies that seemed impossible to craft become easy. It's all about getting you out of that business bubble, and it's all about just getting you some really practical ideas, whether they are directly related to what you've got going on right now or not. They're probably going to spark some, well, like I said, insight for you into your own business, into your own process, into your own goals. Okay? So that's the goal of tonight's call. Set aside your own status quo and listen in to gather the insight from these three business that I have for these three business owners. Okay. So the only other thing I want to, or a couple other housekeeping things really fast, because I want to try and keep us on time as much as possible. First, everyone is currently muted, so if you've got a noisy line or anything like that, you do not need to worry about it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the call. The other thing is, we do have a hashtag for tonight's call. It's just BizInsight, BizInsight, BizInsight. So you can tweet anything you like out from the call, spread the word, let people know you're here, let people know you're having aha moments. It's crazy helpful for me after the call to kind of come back on Twitter and see what caught your eye, or what caught your mind, I guess, or your ear, what kind of ahas you were having during the time. So again, the hashtag, for those of you just jumping on right now, the hashtag for the call is BizInsight. And I have to say, I am just thrilled with the number of people we have on the call. And I think I'm just really excited. So without further ado, I want to get into our three hot seaters for tonight. First up, we're going to have an accountant and business tax consultant, Holly Powell from Thrive Consulting. Then we're going to go to Srinivas Rao, the co-founder of Blogcast FM. Srini, I hope I didn't butcher your name. And then we're going to go to Dr. Debbie Bear. Oh gosh, let me look at my notes. This is a tough one. Oh, where to go? Dr. Debbie Barabish. Oh, I'm going to let her do it then. I had it. I was all practiced up. Anyhow, here's the brand you need to remember for her. The Science Babe. Yes, this is good, right? Okay, thesciencebabe.com. So that's the order we're going to take them in. At the end of the call, you're going to want to stick around, because I have two books to give away. I'm going to take just a couple of questions at the end of the call. The first two people to ask questions after we're all done with the three hot seaters will receive a free copy of The $100 Startup by my friend Chris Gilbo. So that's it. Okay, whew, intro in 5 minutes. I think that's the fastest intro I've ever done. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Holly. Now I have to find her on the call. Here she is. Hi, Holly.
Hello.
Hello. So, you're not going to hurl, right?
I don't think so.
No, okay, cool. Welcome to our live Insight Intensive. Where's my little bio for you go? You have been an accountant for 10 years, 9 of them as a CPA, and you are clearly passionate about accounting as a tool for making great business decisions, not just that, have to accounting at tax time every quarter or every year, right?
Right.
Awesome. So the goal that you cited for this call was to work towards or create the path forward, really, to full-time business ownership, to doing this gig as your 100% for real day job, right?
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, so I just said that's exactly right.
Fantastic. So you had said you're kind of in that really in-between place, and I think this is something that a lot of people can really relate to. You're not quite able to quit your day job, but you can't really grow the business anymore because you're either out of time or you're out of money or you're out of clients. And that is just, that is a stuck place that we want to get you out of as quickly as possible. But before we get into that, I have a question for you.
Okay.
On your application, you cited Chief Connections Officer as your kind of pie in the sky ultimate job title. And I love that, Chief Connections Officer. Definitely made your application stand out. I want to know, as a financial professional, what or who do you really want to be connecting in your business?
Well, that's a really interesting question. One of the things I've always loved doing, not only from a business perspective, but also just in my personal life, is kind of connecting people. So I have a friend who wants to learn to play the piano, and I have another friend who teaches piano lessons, and I get those people in touch. I have a client who needs web design, and I have another client who does web design. So I get those people in touch, and it's always really cool to me when I see people that I've introduced, interacting, working together, doing things like that, and kind of creating a community. So I realize that there's no way to get paid for that, but in an ideal world, that is something that I would be able, I would have the connections myself to be able to very quickly and easily refer my clients to the things they might not even know that they need.
Okay, cool. Well, first, I want to just back up and say, of course you can get paid for that. You can get paid for just about anything. But I actually think that this is probably just a skill and an interest that you have that you really need to pay attention to every time you're making decisions in your business. When we have these kind of places where I think Danielle Laporte says our souls flicker, you know, where things that really light us up, really turn us on, there are things we really need to pay attention to, and we often dismiss them because they're really easy. In this case, this is going to make whatever you do more valuable. So if creating a community, if connecting people, you know, Malcolm Gladwell cited that as a super important role in creating tipping points, of course, being a connector. So if that's the role that you fulfill, if that really turns you on, there's ways to highlight that in everything that you do. And I think I have a feeling we're going to get to that a little bit more as we go. But it's important for you to always be aware of that and always kind of take the temperature of whatever decision, business decision or idea that you have and ask yourself, well, how does this allow me to be a better connector? How does this allow me to stretch my connector muscles? Because that will make your work much more fulfilling and at the same time make it way more valuable for whoever you're working with. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. So that brings me to your customers, speaking of people. And because I think this is probably the number one place you have room for growth, and specifically the growth that's going to get you to quitting your day job and moving into full-time business ownership as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So you said that you are coming to believe, if you don't mind me quoting you, that your calling is working with micro businesses, people who are just starting out. I have a feeling, I'm going to call you on your bluff right there.
Okay.
I have a feeling that that's who you're comfortable with because they have the same amount of experience as you do in the business realm. And that unfortunately, as you and I and probably everyone else on the call knows, these people don't have tons of disposable income and they have a high value for DIY. So they don't tend to invest in other people's services.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem.
Right.
You either have to lower your rates to attract the people who are just so desperate to hire someone, or you just don't attract the right kind of clients or any clients, period. So, first of all, does that kind of resonate with your experience in that arena?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Okay. So my question to you on that then is you cited a bunch of different people on your mentorship dream team that I asked you for. Great mm-hmm. people. I want to know what it would feel like for you to actually be working for them as their CFO, as their controller, as their financial consultant.
I think that it would be really exciting and also really scary because the people that I cited, the authors and the bloggers and those people probably have needs beyond my wheelhouse. And maybe I'm not confident enough in myself to get up to speed on the things that I imagine someone with $1 million income has, as opposed to the needs of someone who is starting a business from scratch has.
Okay. But your professional experience is working in the financial inner workings of businesses, right?
Right, right.
That have probably way more than $1 million.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
Yeah. So, one, yes, you probably are having a crisis of confidence around that. And two, this is perfect, actually. Let's take it back to that whole connecting thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said you have a passion and an interest for connecting people. If there's something that serving these bigger, scarier, more exciting clients need from you that you don't know how to do or that you just don't necessarily feel comfortable with, I have a feeling or I have faith, really, that you know people who do. And you can either connect them directly or that you can be the go-between in acting as their point person for a whole range of professionals that can fulfill their exact needs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just want to, I'm not necessarily saying that I think you should go and target these people, although you could certainly do that. But what I'm saying is that, you know, there is, if you are interested in working with micro businesses, if you, like me, feel that tug of the new economy, the new way of living and working and doing business, and you want to support that with your professional work, awesome. But know that there are micro businesses that don't make $5,000 a year, that don't make $20,000 a year, that don't make $100,000 a year. There's micro businesses that do make $500,000 a year, $1 million a business a year, and they have the budgets and the needs for someone just like you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, one, you need to position yourself for clients that can pay you. So it may not be, again, those people on your mentorship dream team, but it may be people who are running a more successful business than you thus far. Mm-hmm. I have found both for myself and for my clients that when we challenge ourselves to work with people who are exciting but scary because they've accomplished something that we haven't yet, we mm-hmm. do better work and it's more fulfilling. And that better work, that more fulfilling work leads to more better work and more fulfilling work and more scary, exciting clients. And then it starts to become much easier and you start to relax into this work that maybe otherwise made you a little nervous in the stomach, but very nicely pays the bills. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about how you can do that. One thing that you called out on your web or one thing that you called out in the application was that you would like to be consulting more.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about what you do when you consult with someone.
It can range anywhere from what's the best way to keep track of my business expenses, what software should I be using, to business decisions like pricing, which I realize is ironic, or, looking at clients and trying to figure out profit and loss on particular clients, who am I making money on, who am I losing money on, should I lease the office space or buy, kind of general things like that.
Okay, awesome. Perfect. So is the advice about what kind of software program to use or what kind of system is best the same value as kind of inserting yourself into a business's decisions and kind of helping them see what's going to work for them best money-wise or their pricing decisions? Are those two categories the same kind of value?
Probably not, no.
Okay. So the first kind, that what kind of software is the best, while there may not be a cut and dry answer to that, it's something that you could create and or it's information you could create and reproduce over and over and over again, whether it's a video or a blog post or an ebook. It could take all sorts of forms and it could be paid or not paid. That's totally up to you, but it's information that should be available at all times because probably most of the time you're giving the same answers or there's a set of answers that you give depending on the type of client. That's Googleable information, as I call
right.
it. It's
right.
stuff that, given the time and energy, people can find at least a set of reviews or some more information using Google or Twitter or Facebook, you know, but
mm-hmm.
something that you can prepare and have at the ready to serve your clients or to serve your prospective clients immediately when they need it. And that is really important marketing. So whether it's a paid product or whether it's just something that's out there for free, that's good marketing and good positioning for you. Plus, when you write those resources, you can really speak to those ideal customers, those people that have the money and, most importantly, the understanding of why they should be hiring you, why they need to hire you. You can write those resources with those people in mind to create, to make them lead generators for you. Okay?
Yes.
Now, on the other side, the other category of information, that's stuff that it requires your lengthy experience in business, in accounting, in understanding business finances. So that stuff is worth way more than the hourly rate that you have listed on your site. And that hourly rate, you're probably kind of, at least in my experience, I think what you're doing here is kind of playing the middle. You're playing that Googleable information against the more valuable information, and you've come up with a rate that's kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to, if you take out that Googleable information, and it doesn't mean that a client's not going to ask you something like that from time to time, but that's on them. And you cater towards that higher end, more experience driven consulting, That's mm-hmm. going to give you the opportunity to charge a much higher hourly rate, and that much higher hourly rate is going to be much more attractive to the types of businesses you need to be targeting, because those type of businesses are looking for experts. They're not just looking for people who are well-rounded or a jack of all trades. They are looking for people who they can really trust to know their stuff. And in exchange for trusting them to know their stuff, they're willing to pay you handsomely. Mm-hmm. So I would say your consulting hourly rate needs to at least double.
Okay.
Now, along with that, consulting, if that's where you would like to be kind of funneling more of your business, it needs to have a much larger presence on your website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it needs its own page. It needs some catchy sales copy. It needs to explain exactly why people need this, what kind of problems they're having right now that you can help them with. Get some language, get some customer testimonials in there that to help people really kind of align and identify with what you're having to offer here.
Okay.
All right. The other thing, I'm looking at the time and I want to make sure we've got a few more minutes, so I want to make sure I hit some other things before I give you a chance to ask a question, is on your front page, the front page of your website, I need you to lead with your core belief. On your application, you said the message that you want everyone to hear is that money doesn't have to be scary or frightening or limiting. At its core, money is just a tool to allow you to do what you dream of. Now, that is a sexy, attractive statement, right? Okay? That puts people in the frame of mind like, really? Really? Wow. I have no experience of that. Tell me more. Okay. Then you can go into what their experience of money is now. All right. So you're going to go from kind of shocking people, hopefully not shocking them too much, but shocking them a little bit with that statement and just having it be something that they weren't expecting, to then allowing them to know that you understand where they are right now in their language. I also want to see more of your ideal customer in your copy. You have a long list of people who might be your customer, mm-hmm. I think about midway through your copy. I want you to get really specific and look for some commonalities that your very best customers or the customers that you'd like to target have in common. Maybe certain interests, maybe certain business situations that are going on. Look for those kind of things so that you can very subtly but very effectively call out your ideal client in your copy.
Gotcha.
I also would love to see you on the front page of your website.
Okay.
Okay. I know that's scary to a lot of people, but I'm going to tell it to you and I mean it. Also, you call to action on your front page. What do I do once I've read that and I want to know more or want to know what your offer is? Make sure that there's a clear line at the bottom of your front page that's in bold and has a link that basically says, if you'd like to get a handle on your business finances and learn how money is really an empowering tool in your business, click here to learn more about working with me. Something, you know, something simple like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think I went through my notes super fast, but I want to give you an opportunity to ask a question if you have one.
I do, actually. Going back to the rate, I think you're right. Someone else had suggested to me that it might be worth pursuing, rather than an hourly rate, charging kind of a flat monthly fee, and then I would be available to those people whenever, so that they wouldn't feel hesitant to call me with questions because they know they're going to have to pay. What do you think about that?
I totally agree. I think there's all sorts of different ways that you can kind of run this consulting game. The hourly rate is obviously the easiest, mm-hmm. but it's definitely the most restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
Like a retainer. It sounds like they're kind of talking about a retainer model.
Right.
That can work exceptionally well. You know, it's a flat fee, $500 a month. You call me whenever you want up to, 5 hours a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be great. The other way you could look at it as a per project basis. So if mm-hmm. someone wants you to help them or consult with you on a project that they're working on, you can quote them or you can create a proposal for them and say it's one flat rate. And then it's your job to work towards efficiency in mm-hmm. that project.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. And do you think it's a problem that I list my rates very clearly on the website?
Do not think that's a problem at all, because for people like me, and I know there are a lot of people like me, I was raised to believe that if you have to ask, it's too expensive.
Mm-hmm. Me too. That's why I put it there.
Exactly. So I at least like to see anyone put or everyone put a starting at rate.
Oh.
That allows you some wiggle room if you have a client that's exceptionally that has a really big problem for you, or if it's going to require maybe you to do some outsourcing. That gives you some wiggle room, but it also does kind of set that stage. Like, okay, this is the type of consultant I am. This is the type of contractor I am. Now you know, and it reduces the load on your inbox dramatically.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Perfect. Yes. Cool. Thank you so much.
No problem. I'm going to wrap you up, Holly. Real pleasure. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to tell you what I think.
Thank you.
Thanks. Awesome. Okay. So, yay, everyone who's on the call. While I find Srini in my system, there he is. Again, the hashtag for the call is BizInsight. So if you're having any aha moments, anything you want to tweet out, anything you want to ask me, go ahead and tweet out at BizInsight, BizInsight. Hey, Srini, how's it going?
Good. How's it going with you?
Very good. So let me pull up my notes for you. Okay. So let me introduce you. So Srini is the co-founder of Blogcast FM, and his ultimate pie-in-the-sky job title that he cited on his application was TV host for the blogosphere. Love that. He's also the blogger behind theschooloflife.com, and he is a master of getting the biggest names in the blogosphere to open up about their strategy, philosophy, and tactics. He really gets in there and gets all the actionable bits out so that people like you and I, we don't need to worry about it. So, Srini, thanks for filling out that application for me.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad to be here. I'm kind of amazed. Like, just listening to the last call, I actually already got a few insights.
Woohoo! Awesome. So I want to first let me say your goal for this call was to find your convergence point, where your skills, the skills that you have and the ones that you've been cultivating here while you've really made a name for yourself in the blogosphere, and then what people are willing to pay for. Of course, convergence point is something, that sweet spot that everyone is always looking for. And when you find it, it feels really good. So hopefully we can get you a few steps towards really feeling good about that. So first, I want to start with a branding question for you.
Okay.
You, all the role models that you cited, your kind of mentorship dream team and your ultimate role model, a lot of them have reputations for a bit of eccentricity. You know, they have their own little quirks. They do things their way. They don't care what anybody thinks about it. I want to know, what is eccentric about you and what you want to do?
Oh, well, you know, I guess we can go back to my underlying motivation, which I've not made a secret. I think it's a pretty well-known fact throughout the blogosphere that it's strange, but my motivation to get all of this is because I want to spend as much time surfing as possible. And the other day I was thinking, I'm like, you know, I had a new mission in mind, which is to surf every coastline in the world before I turn 40.
Nice.
And what I'm thinking, you know, to do that, a normal job is probably not entirely likely. Even as a surfer, a normal job is kind of a ridiculous concept because you're kind of at the mercy of the ocean when it comes to your schedule. So that would be my most eccentric thing. I schedule my life around waves.
I think that's awesome. Do you have that in your bio anywhere? I don't remember reading it anywhere, that you schedule your life around waves.
I may not, actually.
I just as a really small silly kind of acts and stuff, I think you need to add that into your bios. And I mean silly as just because it's fun and not because it's not important. I actually think it's exceptionally important because I actually think that one of the issues with you finding your convergence point is that there's actually not enough emphasis on you in what you do, and that with your goal of being TV host to the blogosphere and, you know, your moniker of the Larry King of the blogosphere, that you need to be really cultivating a personality for yourself. People should know you first and foremost. Yes, the platform is important. Yes, obviously your interviewee is exceptionally important, but it's your way of thinking, your way of asking questions, your way of producing the podcast or the videos that makes you stand apart from the rest of the crowd. Not everyone could have had the success that you have had with Blogcast FM. And I think it's exceptionally important that you realize that you are a key piece there. And bring that out in everything that you do, or amp it up at the very, very least. So again, around this kind of topic of convergence point, you have really, or the way I see you positioning yourself, I should put this in terms of me. The way I see you positioning yourself is as a blogging expert. Your Work With Me page on School of Life is, you've got some services around helping people get started with their blogs. Obviously, your platform at Blogcast FM is all about blogging and learning about blogging. But since you cited the job title of TV host, and that you've been described, as I said, as Larry King, I feel like your convergence point is actually not around blogging expert, but really around multimedia production and digital storytelling, which we have talked about kind of briefly. And I think that this is actually where there's way more market need. Yes, there's always going to be new bloggers. There's probably literally thousands of new bloggers every day. I don't know what the actual statistics are. I don't frankly really care, because most of them don't have the money to pay you. Most of them don't know that they can pay you either. However, there are real customers and real companies who are willing to pay you to assist them, consult with them, do the multimedia production and digital storytelling that they need done for their brand. Now, much more than actually doing the doing or the making or the creating for companies or clients, I would just love to see you consulting on this in the short term. You know, how can you create a offer that lets people know what you've done with Blogcast FM in terms of interviewing and storytelling and getting people to open up and, you know, just creating a community around these topics? You can help them do with their topic using media and digital storytelling. So I think first and foremost, that's the service that you really need to be offering. And that is a $100, $200, $300 an hour service, depending on how you're positioning it and who you're positioning it to. And I really think that that's totally up to you. It depends on who you want to be working with. I think you could be working with the next hottest, you know, the next hot Silicon Valley startup, especially with where you're based. Or you could be working with individuals who are creating kind of messenger platforms, who are looking to do that kind of work and maybe have a budget, but maybe not quite as high as some VC funded startup. So that part of it is really up to you. So first, I guess I kind of want to know what I'm asking you in this, I guess, is how it would is for you to take off your blogger's hat and really to put on the host hat and make that the chief personality that you're known for. How does that feel to you?
Much better. Well, it's funny you mention that because I am actually officially I'm going to be doing exactly that for Blog World. They were looking for somebody to do interviews. And as you were saying that, and when it happened with Blog World, part of my mindset went, you know, what if I went around and pitched conference organizers on basically becoming their multimedia producer for the content or for the conference?
I love that. Yes. Yeah, totally. Because, and in that case, you would, well, one, it would help you travel, which is awesome. And two, it would allow you probably to be both host and producer, which I think is at least in the short term, probably a good thing for you. It keeps things simple and lean and lets you figure out really where your best strengths are and where you're just kind of, oh, I could do that, you know? And I think determining what's what in that is really important. And then you can tweak it so that you can develop a team or develop a system that allows you to only focus on the parts that you do your very best. And then, you know, kind of ease back on the things that you're just merely capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's see, I'm just kind of taking a look at my notes. Right. So going back to this branding shift that I kind of started off with you. Right now, I see you, and I'm going to be blunt, hiding a bit behind the School of Life blog name and the title of co-founder of Blogcast FM. And I just want to see Srini, right? Uh-huh. I want to see you in life, okay? So, like, your Twitter handle is School of Life. I would love for it to be at Srini or at Srini Rao. I think that way more effective for you. It's going to be way more memorable for you. And it's going to, when a conference or a company comes along and decides to work with you, they're not saying they're working with that guy from School of Life or that guy from Blogcast FM. They're working with Srini Rao.
So you're saying I should build a Twitter presence all from scratch again, or do you think I'll have to build it from scratch?
You can change your name. I would just change it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. Oh, yes. You can just go in and change it. As long as it's not taken, it's yours to take, and you don't have to rebuild your Twitter presence. You will just still maintain all your followers. And then when people see you, both from my own experience and from a couple clients' experience who've done something similar, it does not take long for people to catch on that you're not that old name. You're a new name because they're still going to see you in their streams. It's just that they just need to get used to tweeting you at something different.
Okay.
So
one question I have about that, I mean, should I, you know, I think it's funny you mentioned that even on Blogcast FM, because I'm looking at the homepage and I realized, like, nowhere on the homepage do I appear. It's just basically a showcase of all our guests. And we have a really, I mean, the way the site is designed, it would be very easy to showcase. So I could have, like, an About the Host page that specifically dedicated to the work I do.
That's exactly what I think you should do. Yeah. And from that page, then if that is strictly like a bio page or a, you know, just kind of like more about you, more about your passion for surfing and why you do the work that you do. Then from that page, you can link to a services page that says, you know, work with me on consulting for your multimedia project or for your digital storytelling project or hire me to speak. You've got to incorporate some services into the Blogcast FM site because I have a feeling people are already looking for it, and I think you're probably missing opportunities here.
Okay.
Okay.
And as far as doing stuff like the actual getting the copy written and stuff, one of the things that sort of came to my mind just this last year after I read the e-myth was, I was like, okay, there's certain things I'm good at. I'm good at conducting interviews. I'm not great at writing copy. Does it make sense to outsource that or work with somebody to basically get that really refined?
Great question. I would say if copy isn't one of your strengths at this point, I would just love to see a video.
Okay.
Do you feel comfortable doing that,
oh, yeah.
right?
Oh, I can definitely do that.
Yeah, I would just have a big, gorgeous video on your About page that just allows you to introduce yourself, shows you off your personality, lets you tell maybe a funny story. Obviously, keep it short.
Right.
We're probably looking like less than 3 minutes, and then maybe you can incorporate some other videos. You could have a video for Work With Me as well. And then as far as copy goes, you really just need to hit the main points then. Say who you are, what you do, the kind of services you offer, all that kind of stuff, just so that Google has something to, you know, grab onto on those pages and for people who don't want to watch the videos. But, you know, since your platform is all about multimedia, it would almost be kind of silly to
So theoretically, this is almost like a trailer for the work that I do.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, so before I run out of time, there's something else on my notes that I wanted to make sure to work in here. So that, as I see it, is kind of a short-term strategy for you. Amp up the personal branding a lot and offer a service around what you are really, really good at, okay? But in the long term, and this is, again, something that you and I had talked about earlier, you are not just running a website, a blog, a podcast, you're running a media network. However, I want to challenge you to take that to the next step. What, you know, if you look at the media empires that can act as your role models, if you look at Oprah and see the TV show, the TV network, the website, the radio, the live events, there are a whole, it literally is a network, right? It's not just one single platform. It's many platforms that all revolve around the Oprah brand and the Oprah personality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that all of your networks necessarily need to revolve around your personality. In fact, I think the opposite may be true. So if you look at NBC, it's not just one network, right? They have the main broadcast network, but they actually have a conglomerate of channels.
Uh-huh.
So for instance, Sci-Fi, one of my favorite television shows or television networks, everyone, or channels, is owned by NBC. And so they have this really specific platform then to deal with a very specific and cater to a very specific kind of viewer, which then allows them to attract advertisers that are more specific to that viewer, which gets the advertisers more excited. That's more valuable real estate for them. And it allows them to drive niche DVD sales, which maybe you won't have niche DVD sales, but you can create network sites that have both advertiser models and product models to them.
Mm-hmm.
So my challenge to you really is to adopt this multi-property media network model. Who could you partner with? Is there someone in your life, in your kind of just field of vision, who is super interested in learning what you do and how you do it, that you could kind of bring in as a partner on a new website, a new venture, and in exchange for kind of teaching them the ropes, work out a profit sharing agreement at that site? So as their site gets built up, you both get rewarded. And then you can take that model and duplicate it over and over again. And as you grow your team and as you grow your network, have a very supportive, very passive income generating tool for you that then lets you go off and do whatever kind of TV host, live event, whatever surfing kind of project you want to do.
Wow. Awesome.
Okay. So, questions before we wrap up with you.
No, I mean, I'm going to have to sit down and digest a lot of this. I mean, I think even the first stuff, just the small stuff you said, I can kind of see. I love that because it's stuff that can have such an immediate impact, and it's weird because I sort of was thinking about what you said and listening to the woman you talked to before and making all these sort of connections in my head, and I realized that there are certain skills that I've taken for granted this entire time.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I don't know about you, but I suspect the main skill you've taken for granted is your ability to really connect with people as a host or as an interviewer, and to create a story and a lesson and just motivation and momentum from that connection. And I think that's really valuable. There are companies that they just don't get it, right? All they can see is, the code development that they have to do or the customer outreach that they have to do. And they don't see that one-to-one connection that is so natural for you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you. It was a real pleasure. I'm going to go ahead and mute you.
All right.
On to the science, babe. So thank you, Srini. Okay. Now, I think Is this Debbie?
Yes. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, hello. So, Debbie, let me introduce you. Okay, actually, first, can you say your last name for me again?
Of course. It's Berevicius. It's complicated. Don't feel bad.
Okay, so it's Dr. Debbie Berevicius. And Dr. Debbie, I won't refer to you like that, but we'll decide. Debbie holds a PhD in physics from Stanford, and she has a website called thesciencebabe.com. And let me pull up my other last little notes on you. Her specialty is really making science concepts fun, interactive, and easy to understand. And if you go to thesciencebabe.com, you will see a bunch of different videos where Debbie is doing exactly that. So I encourage you to check that out. But one of Debbie's main beliefs, interests, desires is inspiring young people to know that science is everywhere. And I think probably in no other era has that been more important. Debbie, I'm getting a little bit of feedback. If do you have headphones that you could pop in? Oh, never mind, it's gone. Oh, Debbie, are you still there?
Yes, I'm okay. On a Skype call, so I wonder if it's just a bad connection. Let me know if I should call you on my phone instead.
Okay, all right, I think we're okay now. It's probably just a bloop. I'm really bad thinker when I hear myself talking back to me. So anyhow, okay, so I think in no other era has it been more important that young people, well, people of all ages really know about science. And so I think there is a huge market opportunity here, but Debbie has had difficulty selling science. And I think that this is probably not horribly surprising, even if it is a very important thing to be doing. So her main goal for this call was to get some clarity around what her product could be. You know, she's looking for that that leveraged income that doesn't require her time or her energy or her to show up in her amazing high heels. So we can do that, Debbie. So first, I think this idea of inspiring young people to know that science is everywhere is what your product is, and that there's just some tactics that are going to allow you to sell that in a way that is good for you, good for the people that you're teaching, and perhaps most importantly, the parents who are going to be buying this for their kids or their teenagers, as not just entertainment, right, but edutainment, education that's entertaining. First, the question I have for you is when you're selling science, when you're selling this understanding of the natural world, what are you really selling? What are you really selling when you're selling science?
That's a good question. I think I'm selling a set of principles with which to look at the world around us that anybody can use and can gain an understanding and an intuitive feeling for how things happen and in the way sort of the world around us works. So, but what I mean by that is I call during my public speaking endeavors, like I always call my talks physics glasses. And what I mean by that is that, for example, the world looks like a very complex place. But if I teach you how to wear a set of physics or science glasses, you have this X-ray vision, so to speak, where you can see the world and the patterns that emerge in the world. So you'll see sound and light to be kind of the same thing. And once you understand those patterns, then you can apply them and understand many different applications. Hopefully that was too confusing.
No. I love that. And I love the idea of seeing patterns that emerge in the world. And I think that's a really useful skill, whether you're talking about whether you're literally talking about the principles of physics or whether you're just talking about kind of a way of just seeing the world, what your worldview is, if you can pick out those patterns, that's a key 21st century skill. And it's funny that you say it that way, because that's very much the way I talk about what I do with business and before that with my study of religion. It's all about understanding people's worldviews, but also understanding patterns of belief, patterns of behavior, and then being able to predict actions or understand actions based on that. So I think that's great that you describe what you do in very much the same way. So if this is a really necessary 21st century skill, how can I put this? What real benefits does a college graduate or a high school graduate who sees the world in this way, who has this kind of understanding, what benefits do they have in the work world or in the college world?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's like a $64,000 question, because I think people have like huge misconceptions about science having absolutely no bear in our everyday life. Most young people that are pretty successful in their jobs would much rather pay for, get a massage or something than actually gaining a little bit of knowledge about the world around them. So in terms of practical outcomes, I see, for example, mathematics for me is the basis of everything. Whether you're going to be a psychologist or have a blog and you want to read some statistics in newspapers, whatnot, it's just, you know, another language with which you can communicate any product or anything that you're thinking about. Another thing, benefit I see for, mothers, for example, is to help their children understanding their homeworks, or for people at a party to have like an interesting, just like a magic trick, but a science trick, and show people how you can freeze beer because it's a special kind of fluid, or things like just having more fun in the world and creating different alternative things. But most importantly, I think to become informed citizens and understanding what we're voting for, just understanding what global warming is, genetic engineering, all that surrounds us, I think would be important.
Okay. So first, I'm going to call you out on one thing that you said, because I like to do that. And that is that you said people are more willing to pay for a massage or a psychic reading or something like that than they are willing to pay for this kind of education. And I agree. On one hand, I agree with you. And on another hand, I vehemently disagree with you. There is one kind of client who prioritizes a massage or life coaching or, you know, whatever it might be. And there's another type of client or customer that prioritizes spending on education or spending on, you know, going to the bookstore and spending the day just poring over different books, or going to the planetarium, or going to the museum on the weekend, right? There are people who are spending both time and money supporting education and learning about the world. It's not your job to worry about people who would rather spend money on massages or whatever else it might be. That's not your customer. Your customer is the person that prioritizes buying a microscope for their kids or prioritizes taking their kids to the museum. That is your customer. Find them, learn about them, study them, learn what turns them on and what turns them off, learn what kind of what their needs are, what they wish there was more of in science education. Find out about these people. So that would be homework number one for you. I can't believe I didn't use the word homework with either Srini or Holly, but that's homework number one for you. It's find out who are these people who prioritize education. One group I can think of right off the bat would be homeschoolers. They may not, it may or may not be the most glamorous audience, but they certainly, they care about their kids. They care about education for sure. They care about their world. That's why they do what they do, and it is so awesome. find out more about them. Get a little focus group together, email back and forth with some people. You can use Twitter for that, all sorts of things you could do there. Maybe if it's going and speaking at a science club at a high school and inviting parents in and then spending a couple minutes talking to the parents about, how they're investing in their child's education. Maybe it's, you could do the same thing at a college, but talk to these people and really learn what they are asking for or what they're desiring, what's kind of lacking in the market. Okay. Find out about that customer. The other thing that I want to say, about this whole topic of what you're really selling when you're selling science is I think you're selling jobs, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, when you boil it down, I think you're selling employment opportunity. You are giving people the skills and giving people who want the skills the ability to communicate, to engage around science subjects that are in demand in the workplace, right? Doesn't the government and advocacy groups, that they tell us all about how we need more STEM in schools, science, technology, yes, engineering, and math. You are selling the opportunity to bring STEM into people's lives, even if their schools aren't providing it, even if their extracurriculars aren't providing it. That's huge. That's language that people that people who pay attention are used to right now. And they desperately want for their children or for themselves the opportunity to be able to bypass the unemployment line, to bypass economic stagnation and instead move forward. And so even if your product is fun, interactive, you know, sexy kind of videos, that's your method, okay? And so your whole market isn't necessarily, or your market isn't necessarily the whole market of people looking for STEM education, but they are a subset of that market who you communicate to, who you can connect with. And I have a feeling it's a very large section of that market, but it's your job to find them and connect with them. So I want to get pretty specific here for a moment, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Yes.
I think the number one thing that you need to change on your website to get you in the position that you need to be in to start developing a real multimedia product here is to add an email newsletter sign up. I don't see that anywhere on your site. And if I'm missing it, I'm sorry. But if I missed it, then everyone else is missing it too, because I was actually looking for it.
There isn't one yet. Yep.
All right. So building your list is the most important thing that you can do, especially since your method is multimedia, as it should be, because you're really good at it. You can cultivate a group of people who are regularly kind of watching.
Hello? Oh, God.
The moderator has left the conference.
Okay, guys, sorry about that technical difficulty. Thank you for the many, many people who stayed on the call there. I switched my phone, so we shouldn't have that problem again. But I seem to have lost Debbie. Let me see. Debbie, if you're still on the line, can you hit star 2 on your keypad? You can do it from Skype or from your phone. Oh, there you are. There
yes,
you are. Okay. Hello.
Again.
So sorry about that. Okay. Where was I?
So you were saying about building my list.
Yes, building your email list. So the person that you should be watching for this is Marie Forleo, because not only does she have an incredible list, but she's using her email list to generate interest and excitement around multimedia content. You know, so technically she has a blog, but it's not really, it's not a bloggy blog. It's a video blog. She creates a new video every week, and sends that out to her email list. If she would have done that 5 years ago and tried and used like an old RSS model, probably wouldn't have worked so well. It works really well with email. So what I want you to do is add an email opt-in form to the front page of your website and have it then prominently displayed on every other page of your website. You know, you can get a VA to do that. It doesn't have to necessarily be a super expensive web designer. Lots of people can do that for you if that's not something that you're comfortable with yourself. And then I would create a very small sample product that acts as a freebie download for people who sign up for your email list. Again, look around the blogosphere, look around internet marketing. You're going to see that everywhere. But Basically what I'd like you to do is, and maybe even using one of the videos you already have prepared, take that video and then add some worksheets to it. PDF set of worksheets that allows people to, or that allows parents or students to actually interact with the video and record what they're learning is going to, it's going to be super valuable for people. And so people are going to want to sign up just for that. And then they're going to look for the new content that you're generating from there on out. You don't have to send out these crazy long old-fashioned email newsletters. You really just need to send out one item in each email. So if you're sending out an email once every week or once every other week, just one item, whether it's a video or a link to something else that's great, maybe a resource that you recommend. There's all sorts of things that you can use for email content. One thing per email, just give people a really good reason to open up that email every time you send it out. To go along with that, that email list really needs to be targeted to your ideal customer. So in this case, I really think it's parents, and it's parents who put a priority on education, and specifically, obviously, a priority on science education. So that kind of goes back to that homework that I gave you earlier. You need to know who these people are so you can speak their language. You know, yes, you want to be you. Yes, you want to be completely authentic to your to the way you work and the way you communicate, but you want to make sure that you are aligning it with their needs and their language as well, so that there's as the word that we were using with three, so there's that convergence point, and that creates a lot of loyalty.
Perfect.
Once you've got that going, all you're going to need to do is send out a survey to this list. So once, you know, you're building your list up to maybe 100, 200, 300 people, send out a survey and ask them, what kind of topics are you interested in? It's kind of back to that market research again. What topics are you interested in? What formats are good for you? Why would you purchase something that's science education related? What was the last book on science you bought? Just to gather some more information. From that information, you will find your product. It's not that the product is that difficult to create. It's not that the idea is that difficult to create. It's that you have not honed in on that ideal market yet. And once you get that ideal market going and understand them and learn from them, the product will make itself clear, and then the product will sell itself.
That's incredible. That's brilliant. Thank you.
Okay. You are so welcome. So I don't want to cut your time short, but I think I basically covered what I wanted to cover with you.
Can I ask a quick question?
Please do ask me a question, yes.
I've been thinking very hard for 5 years about changing my brand. I have some equity and some followers, quite a number of followers, but I don't feel completely comfortable with the moniker Science Babe, and I was looking to go into something a little bit more serious that may appeal more to parents.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, with branding questions, that's up to you. It's really about what makes you feel most comfortable in your own skin. If being the Science Babe makes you feel most comfortable in your own skin, stick with it. Yes, it's not going to be for everyone, but the people who love it are going to love it. If
okay.
something more serious, or maybe something just maybe not even more serious, but just if a different twist or a different take on the idea feels more resonant to you, go with it. But really with branding, you want to hone in on what makes you unique and what your real strengths are. So if you can hone in on those things and shine a light on them and just make them the star of your brand, you'll create a brand that feels very authentic and that also allows you to communicate in the way that you communicate best.
Okay, great.
Okay. So I'm sorry, that was not a cut and dry answer, but that would be the answer I would give to anyone. I mean, given more time, obviously there's questions that
sure.
can be asked to kind of hone in on that. But really,
but
really
I got the answer.
Anyone, yeah, it's really about being you and then being this kind of amped up version of yourself that allows you to have fun and feel easy and feel more, even more confident. I'm sure you don't have a problem with confidence, but many, many people do, obviously, and we all do. And so your brand should make you feel really confident too. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, I was just wondering about changing brand, if that's okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's totally okay. It's totally
okay.
Because in the end, if you change to something that makes you feel better, you're going to have no problem keeping your following, and the people who don't follow along wouldn't have been your customers in the first place.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie. It's been a real pleasure.
Likewise.
Okay. I don't want to keep you guys on too long, but I am open for questions now. Like I said, first two question answerers or askers, I'm sorry, first two question askers get copies of the $100 Startup by Chris Gillibo. So if you have a question, go ahead and hit *2 on your keypad. And I've got a question asker already. This person is from somewhere around New York City. Last four digits of your phone number end in 1709. Hello, who's this?
Hi, it's Andrea.
Hey, Andrea, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. So my question, I hope this is okay, because I'm definitely like a fledgling entrepreneur, so I hope
Please.
This isn't too basic. But you were talking before about, Googleable content and coming up with kind of free giveaways for people as an incentive to sign up for your list.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit to how people that are new at developing content in general might go about deciding what's free content versus what's worth charging for.
Great question. Great question and a popular question. I'm sure one that everyone on the call has struggled with or probably continues to struggle with, even if no matter what their phase. I think that honestly, I think there's very little difference between paid content and free content. And as the information economy continues to evolve, that may or may not hold true. But my gut, my intuition is telling me that it will continue to remain true, so that people expect your free content to be every bit as good, transformational, insightful as your paid content. That just means that you need to be careful about how much you give away for free, as opposed to what you give away for free. Now, what you give away for free, just some other guidelines, should be something that is evergreen. It should be something that is timeless, okay? Something that people are asking you about frequently, or is the answer to a question, or maybe it's insight into your process around a question that people ask you all the time. That kind of attractiveness is great in a freebie, because when people see that then in your sidebar or in a graphic, they immediately align with that if they're your right customer. Then that's the other part. Your freebie absolutely must be completely aligned to your right customer. You don't want to attract people with your freebie who aren't going to ever be customers for you, or who aren't going to ever be clients for you. So think about, who is that ideal customer? Who's that ideal reader? Whoever you're targeting right now, what do they need from you? And what is a good first step? What's that foundational thing that they need from you to then take the next step, to become a loyal reader, to become a customer or a client? And if you can provide that with your freebie, it's not so much a matter of what's paid and what's free as what sets you up to have the best customer base, to have the most engaged readers, to have the most ready clients. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's super helpful.
Okay, awesome. Great question. So here's what you need to do to get your copy of the book. You're going to want to email general@carriageandtilly.com and just send us your mailing address, and we will get that book to you very quickly. Okay?
Thanks so much. Yeah, thanks.
Cool. Thank you. All right, and my second caller is in the Washington, D.C. area. Your phone number ends in 9297. Hello, who's this?
Okay. Hi there, this is Carrie.
Hey, Carrie, how are you?
I'm fantastic, thanks. And I really appreciate you giving this information out for free. This has been really quite helpful. I've been listening to it and taking it in while trying to keep on track with my business.
Awesome.
My question is that I'm kind of overloaded, and I have a business, and I go and I meet with clients, and I do work in their homes, and I find that I'm taking a lot of the work home with me, and I'm kind of hesitating to say, well, actually, I came here and I did X, Y, and Z, but you didn't see what I did at home in order to research and prepare and come to, you know, give you the best service possible. And I'm kind of hesitant to kind of, you know, build that into my price, and I'm kind of freaked out and afraid. So I was wondering if you have any advice.
Yes, always. what I'm hearing is that you're starting to resent your clients. Is that the case?
No, I really walk out of every job that I do feeling like the best job satisfaction, but I'm kind of afraid to, kind of charge them the actual amount of work that I'm doing for them, because I'm still kind of in that hesitating, like, I can't believe people are going to pay me what to do
okay.
what I'm doing.
Okay.
And again, if you probably looked at my website, you'd probably say, yeah, you need to double it. So I'm not there yet, but I don't know, like, I have this, the problem is I think that my clients also become like friends, and I kind of feel like, oh, well, I'll just throw that in for, you know, for free type of thing. So I need to stop doing that, and I don't know how to stop doing that.
Okay. So let me address that real quick. When it's very common for all of us as tiny business owners to feel like our clients are becoming our friends. And for most of us, I think that's actually happening. And we can debate whether that's healthy or not. I tend to think that it is fairly healthy. The people who are working closest with me, I want them to be people I really like. But if they are friends who are willing to invest in bettering themselves and invest in you as a business owner, then then they're willing to invest, okay? And so if you charge them what you need to be in, what you need to be charging them, when they become friends, when you develop that relationship, there are going to be extra things you want to throw in, or you are going to want to go the extra mile. And when you're making on a project what you should be making on a project, or what feels really good to you on a project, going that extra mile is going to feel amazing. Because then it's not just, oh, I shouldn't be doing this, or, oh, I really regret this, or, oh, this is going to get me in trouble. It's, wow, I am so lucky that I have a job that I can do this for people that I love. So that's
one. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And it is, okay. It's awesome. It just, it makes my fingers and my toes tingle when I can do that. But I'm starting to almost feel like, am I being taken advantage of? Or am I letting people take advantage of me?
If you are feeling that way, or just beginning to feel that way, it's been happening for a while. at least that's my experience of it, and I've got a lot of experience in this area, both personal and client-based. So what is holding you back from raising your rates right now?
Well, I did raise them a couple weeks ago, because I started my business in January, and I said by the time April rolls around, I'm going to knock up my prices a couple of bucks. So I did that, and I'm doing something that's a little bit different from other people who do something similar to what I do. It's kind of specialized. It's labor intensive, and it's new, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of me's out there doing what I do. So I'm just trying to, like, figure out the whole thing, like, figure out how do I become my own businesswoman? How do I, you know, go and meet clients and negotiate deals and provide these services? So it's all brand new, and I'm I'm shy,
okay.
I guess. I'm intimidated by the whole process.
So then let me just give you a couple quick guidelines, because, I mean, I think that's a lot right there. And that's normal. And it's something that a lot of that you're just going to have to work through and experiment and try some things. But specifically on this money issue, or on this rate issue, if there is a market need for what you do, and you do it a little differently, you have a different process, you serve a different type of client, you are very specialized in one area, that's worth more, not less. It's worth more, not less. Because you have a certain type of client that you are going to be serving that values that even more than the average Joe client that the rest of the market is serving. Okay? So that's worth, that right there is worth more. I think the other thing that I want to say about rates is that, again, and sort of back to what I was talking to Debbie about and to Holly about, you need to really hone in on who that ideal customer is. If you don't feel like you could close your eyes and imagine your ideal customer, whether it's a real person or even better, really, an imaginary person, then you don't know them well enough. If you don't know enough to finish their sentences, you don't know them well enough. When you get to know those people well enough, then you can talk to them in a way that allows them to understand why you are the best person to be serving them. And that, again, is something people are willing to pay more for. Last thing about rates. If you have a full client docket, if you can't take any more clients, or you don't have any problems getting clients when you want them, it's time to raise your rates. I would encourage everyone to always have an open spot on their calendar. Why do we work our fingers to the bone for less, just to always have that full client schedule? There's no point. You could make more money and work less, and then have that opportunity, that opening, that if there's an emergency client you want to take, or maybe there's a pro bono client you want to take, you can take that on and feel really good about it. You need to create that kind of space in your work life so that you have the flexibility that you need to run the business the way you want to run the business.
Okay.
So keep me up to date.
Okay, will do.
Okay, awesome. So then, again, to get your free copy of the $100 Startup, just email megan@general@teragentilly.com and we'll hook you up. Okay?
Super. Cool. Thank you so much for doing this. This is great.
Thank you. Awesome. Have a great night. Okay, well, I think my computer is frozen or something. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the call there since it's 20 after 9 and I've been working since way early this morning. Guys, thank you so much for coming out and for listening in and talking back. And I can't wait to check out the stream on Twitter and see what you guys are saying. We will be back here again, same place, different time. We're at 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. Remember, if you want recordings of these calls, make sure you're a blog subscriber at teragentilly.com. Just stick your email address in the little box with my face in it. There's all sorts of boxes you can stick your email address in, but the one with my face in it, that's a good one. And we'll make sure you get the recordings of the calls. Guys, again, thank you so much, and have a great night. Bye-bye.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.